from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 through 20. Surely this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. It is not in heaven that you should say, "Who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us that we may hear it and observe it?" Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, "Who will cross to the other side of the sea for us and get it for us so that we might hear it and observe it?" No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish, that you shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Choose life that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him and holding fast to him, for that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. The scripture that we've been reading tonight is one of change. The Israelites, the group of people that Moses is speaking to in the scripture, they're on the precipice of change. They've reached the edge of the promised land after escaping slavery from Egypt and wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And yet, even as they are almost at the promised land, Moses will not be joining them there. They'll have a new leader in Joshua. And while entering the promised land might seem to be about as good of change as is possible, it's still a change, and change is hard. They're about to enter into a new way of life. The wandering that they've been used to for the last 40 years is about to come to an end. And now they are here. They're almost there. But before they enter, Moses has some things to say. 30 chapters worth of things to say, in fact. He reminds them of their story. He recounts the law that God gave them, and then he finishes with the words that we've heard this evening. Moses tells them about all the commandments that he has reminded them of today, that none of them are too difficult for them to follow. These commandments, they're not too far away. Change is hard, but this choice is not. And so the people have to make a choice. They can choose to follow these commandments that lead to life, or they can choose to not to and miss out on life. And this choice, it's not just one that they're going to make today and be done with for the rest of their lives. It's a choice they're going to make each and every day. It's a choice their descendants are going to make generation after generation. Life or death, prosperity or adversity, hearts following God or hearts turned away from God, live long or perish, blessings or curses. Now, you might think this all sounds a little harsh, and it would be, except that, remember, we're told that the choice of life is not too hard. The choice of life is not far away. It's here. The people can choose life. God has already given them life. They just have to choose to follow it. The problem, of course, arises when the people, and then when we today do it too, we forget that life from God is right there waiting for us to choose it. Since we're people, we're really good at taking what is easy and making it overly difficult. We're really good at forgetting what is right there waiting for us because we're busy being upset about something that doesn't really matter. And often this happens during times of change in our lives. Even the small moments of change in our lives can cause us to find ourselves forgetting life. I don't know how many of you have been to a Giant Eagle since they took away the plastic bags, but if you ever needed proof that people respond poorly to change, it's right there. Even small change has the potential to cause a lot of people to turn away from life. And of course, if it can happen in such a small change as losing plastic bags, we know it also happens in big changes. It happens in the big changes of our lives when we grieve loss of loved ones, when jobs are changed or lost, when relationships end, when we move, when family situations are new, and in the countless other ways we experience change. No matter what form the change takes, it's difficult. And so whenever we find ourselves in change, we're much more likely to forget that life is right there waiting for us. I think that might be why Moses makes his last words before this big change for the Israelites about the easy choice of life. Because he knows the chances are good that people are going to forget that life and God is right there. The thing is, in the midst of change, there's a lot we can choose. We can and should choose life, but so often we make other choices. We might choose negativity. We might spend time complaining about the change. We might choose fear because change is often scary since we don't know what it will bring. And in our fear, we might withdraw or lash out or do whatever it is we do personally when we're afraid. We might choose to just shut down and refuse to think about the change or accept it. We might try to make the change all about us, to use it to draw attention to ourselves or draw power for ourselves. And you know what? All those choices, negativity, fear, shutting down, or self-importance, none of those lead to life. None of those reactions are what God is calling us to. Instead, God is calling us to life. We choose life because God is always offering life. So what does it look like to choose life? Well, choosing life means loving God, obeying God, and holding fast to God. So first we seek to love God. As those who are loved by God and offered life by God, we choose life by loving God. And when we love God, we seek to love others. As people who love God, we seek to offer life to others during times of change. That might mean that if you hear somebody else who's struggling to choose life during a time of change, you might want to encourage them. Instead of engaging in negativity or talk or gossip or complaining about the change, as somebody seeking life through love, you might offer words of hope or comfort. Second, we choose life by obeying the commandments of God. Now, too often we think of this as just having to follow a whole bunch of rules. But the commandments themselves actually lead us to life. When we're following God, when we're making choices that are in line with God's will and desire for us, we're going to find ourselves experiencing better and more life. The commandments of God lead us to life. And so if we focus on following God during times of change, we'll find ourselves making choices that lead to life. Because the commandments of God lead us away from fear and anger and self-importance and lead us to hope and comfort and life. So we choose life by loving God and others, by following the commandments of God, and finally by holding fast to the promises of God. We find life in the midst of change by holding fast to the promise that the offer of life from God will never change. We hold fast to God's promises because they don't change. God's promise of life, God's promise to be with us, God's promise of a hopeful future, none of that will ever change. So even when we feel like everything around us is changing, we trust that God's promises never do. And God's promise is life. Life that isn't too hard to find or too far away for us to find. So choose life, even in the midst of change, even in the midst of transition, even when the future is unknown. God is always offering us life. So when faced with the choice, choose life. Choose life by loving God and others. Choose life by following the commandments of God. Choose life by holding fast to the promises of God. For as we're told, surely this commandment that I'm commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. It's not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross to the other side of the sea for us and get it for us so that we might hear it and observe it? No, the word is very near to you. It's in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him, for that means life to you and length of days. Jesus came and lived among us to show us what it looked like to choose life each and every day. He chose life when he taught his disciples, when he healed, when he gathered in community with others. And he chose life even as he knew he was going to be arrested and tried and crucified. When he gathered with his disciples and took bread and gave thanks to God and broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and he said, take and eat. This is my body and it's broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then later, when the supper was over, he took the cup and he gave thanks to God and he gave it to his disciples and he said, drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant. It's poured out for each and every one of you that you might receive forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Let us pray. Eternal God, we ask that you might pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with each other and one in ministry to all the world, till Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. In your Son's holy name we pray. Amen. Here in our church, we practice an open table of communion. That means we don't believe you need to be a member of this church or any church to receive communion with us this evening. We just ask that you come forward with the heart ready to receive the grace of Jesus Christ. We'll receive communion by intinction. That means you'll be given a piece of the bread and asked to lightly dip it in the cup. Receive both elements at the same time. We do have a gluten-free option available if you prefer that. I'll invite Linda forward to help me serve, and then you all are welcome to come as you're ready.